We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation focused on an issue that the body of Christ needs to have some understanding about. And, of course, we always go to the bottom line. What does God's Word, the Bible, have to say about that particular issue? We're going to be discussing the situation at Wheaton College, an update on that, and Islamic eschatology. Keep the dial set right where it is. This will be a very informative conversation that you want to eavesdrop on. David is in Uganda, so let me just remind you of that fact. Some of the sound coming from Uganda may be muffled, but listen closely. This is a very important conversation. David, last week we discussed the issue of Islam in East Africa, where you're located. And this week we're going to take a look at the different branches of Islam and their views of the end times. But before we get to that, there's news coming out of Wheaton College this week related to a story that we first discussed a few months back involving the question of whether Christians and Muslims worship the same God.
Yes, that's true. It was a situation with one of the faculty members at Wheaton, a lady named Larisha Hawkins, who back in December put on one of the Muslim headscarves, head coverings, to show solidarity with the Muslims. She made a post on Facebook that gave the indication that she believed that Christians and Muslims worship the same God, and that caused quite a stir. And the president began initiating to have her terminated, and there was an outcry from the students, the faculty, the staff, and alumni. And as a result of that, over this past week, they have reached a point of reconciliation. They've had made a public statement. They've had a press conference, and the president actually publicly apologized for the way he had handled the situation. But yet, in an interesting turn of events, this professor, Larisha Hawkins, has actually decided that she is going to be leaving Wheaton, and is that they really haven't given any details of how and why that is taking place, if there has been reconciliation.
So overall, then, this sounds encouraging in that this seems to take care of the potential doctrinal issue there at Wheaton College.
You would think so, but actually, because of the outpouring of support for her, like I said, the faculty, staff, and alumni, what really concerns me is some of the statements that were made even by the faculty seems to indicate that they saw no problem with her statements and saw that there was and didn't think that there was a conflict between what she was saying and the Wheaton statement. And certainly, I don't think this is going to go away. I think this is going to be an ongoing problem for Wheaton, and they're going to have to make some decisions one way or the other.
Well, David, you and I, and certainly on behalf of Prophecy Today, we'd have to affirm that the God of the Bible and the God of Islam are not the same at all.
Yes, that's right. You know, if we think about even going back to the very basic idea where the Quran says that Allah has no son, and we understand that the Bible very clearly teaches that salvation is found only in the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God, Redeemer, the Savior of the world, who died for our sins and arose from the grave. And also, Islam teaches that Jesus Christ was not crucified and therefore did not arise from the grave. So there is no salvation in the God of Islam that denies who Jesus Christ is. So there's no comparison at all.
David, this brings us then to the main topic for this week, and that is Islamic eschatology. How Muslims actually view the end times. But just as there are different views among various Christian denominations concerning eschatology, the same is true in Islam as well, is it not?
Well, that's true. There are two major branches of Islam, and they have differing views of eschatology on certain points, and then they have certain views that are similar. And the two groups would be the Sunnis and the Shia Muslims.
Well, now, the Sunni and the Shia, let's just say the Shia and Shiites are exactly the same. It's just the way you pronounce it. It may be helpful, actually, before we get into the explanation about eschatology, for our listeners, if we will first explain the differences between Sunni and Shiite Islam, and which countries are represented by these two major groups.
Well, that's right. Well, there are approximately 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. 85% of those are Sunnis, and that would make up the vast majority of all the Islamic countries. The Shiites, on the other hand, make up roughly 50% of Iraq, give or take 5 to 10%, and about 90% of Iran, and that's where the Shiites are concentrated. The two groups actually separated very early on in Islamic history. The Sunnis came to believe that the leader of the Muslim world and the leaders in communities could be chosen by the people, whereas the Shiites saw that their top cleric, the imam that they would follow, would be a direct descendant or directly related to Muhammad. And over the years, even though there were times when they cooperated and were able to live together, at the present time and over the past several decades, the intensity of the hatred between the two groups has really intensified, and certainly the eschatology of the Shiites is more radical in some ways and more dangerous than that of the Sunnis.
David, is there a general view of the end times that both Sunnis and Shiite Muslims share?
Yes, there would be, and that would be that they believe that the Mahdi, who is seen as the savior of Islam, the final imam, is the one who is going to come on the scene, and he is going to defeat the enemies of Islam and establish a worldwide Islamic caliphate. And some also believe that Jesus Christ will also be returning and will be in a subordinate role to the Mahdi, and will also be responsible directly for destroying the Christianity, Judaism, and all the other religions of the world.
David, now share with us the major differences between the views of the Sunnis and the Shiites concerning the end times.
Most of the, because of the shared view, the Sunnis would largely be looking at that and wouldn't be necessarily nearly as apocalyptic in their views. And what I mean by that, the apocalyptic views of the Shiites, looking at what they call the 12th imam, they believe that the last imam was born in the 800s, and when at the age of 5 or 6 years old, went into hiding, and God has been preserving him over all these centuries, and that he is going to appear back on the scene in the midst of a worldwide chaos. And when Ahmadinejad was the president of Iran, he was seeking to bring about worldwide chaos. That's why it's so dangerous for Iran to have nuclear weapons, because they believe that if they start this chaos and bring chaos to the entire world, that will actually usher in the Mahdi and the end times eschatology. They also believe in an antichrist that they call the Dajjal, and he has a lot of characteristics of even the antichrist that we find in the scriptures. So it's a very dangerous form, and also the thing is, they also believe that the Mahdi is going to reunite all of Islam. So even the Sunnis will get caught up into this before it's all said and done.
Well, what do the Muslims believe about Jesus Christ in the end times? Do they believe that he's going to return to the earth as prophesied in Revelation chapter 19?
Well, no. Actually, what happens is, according to Islamic eschatology, the Mahdi actually, in many ways, takes up the position of Jesus Christ, and so then Jesus Christ returns, but in a subordinate position. In fact, they believe that the first thing the Mahdi is going to do is go to Mecca, to the Kaaba, and that Jesus Christ will kneel behind him, and then Jesus Christ will be his instrument of destruction of all the other religions of the world. And so Jesus Christ definitely has a subordinate position. He is not seen as the Savior. The Mahdi is seen as the Savior, and they believe that the whole world will turn their eyes upon the Mahdi and talk about nothing else but him.
I'm going to apologize again for the telephone signal coming out of Uganda, but I hope and pray that you're able to put the parts together. It's a very important conversation we're having. David, a couple of more questions real quickly. Some have put forth the idea that the Antichrist is going to come out of the Islamic world because of the similarities between the Mahdi of Islam and the Antichrist as described in the Bible. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's some really serious problems about that. If you go back to Daniel chapter 2 and the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the statues, and Daniel interpreted that dream, we see that the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, then it was followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire, followed by the Roman Empire, which were the legs of iron, And then there's going to be one more empire made of, it's described as the feet, which are made of a mixture of clay and iron, which will be a brittle coalition. And so it seems that this is directly connected to the Roman Empire, and the Antichrist has to rise up out of that old Roman Empire, not out of the Islamic world. Another thing is that is interesting. According to some Islamic scholars, they believe that the Mahdi, reading the book of Revelation, they believe that Mahdi is the first rider on the white horse of the first four horsemen of the first seal judgments in Revelation.
Let me ask you this final question about what we've been discussing today in a very important discussion. Are there any ways in which Islamic eschatology might fit into the end time scenario as described in the Bible, as you've studied Bible prophecy, you would come up with?
Well, yes, I definitely believe so, and I think it's different than what the Islamists say, and I think it's different than those who talk about believing the Antichrist comes out of the Islamic world, and that would be, I do believe that there's going to be some Islamic leader who's going to come onto the world stage, who is going to try to establish a caliphate, and when he does that, his main goal is going to be to destroy the nation of Israel as well as destroy Christianity, and there's going to be a false Christianity based in Rome. So the Islamic Empire, the Islamic world is going to come against Israel, and we read about this in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We know that God is going to destroy those, and so the Antichrist is going to take credit for that. So he can't be the Mahdi or the one coming out of Islam, but it definitely plays into biblical prophecy.
And may I just suggest, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, you need to study the true eschatology that's found in God's Word. The main prophetic books in all of the 18 different prophetic books in the Bible would be Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. And, of course, David has referred to at least two of those, Daniel and Revelation. But it'll be a great and very important study for you to understand the end times from a truly biblical perspective. David, thank you so very much for this conversation. I mean, this was key for our people eavesdropping on the conversation to understand the Islamic eschatology, but then comparing that and see how false it is as compared to truly biblical eschatology. Have a great time as you conclude your ministry there in Uganda. Journeys, mercies as you travel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy, and hopefully we'll have a little bit better connection then. Have a good week.